Sunday, December 7, 1941, was a cold, cloudy day in Seattle. Even with the inclement weather, most people were smiling because Christmas was only 18 days away. Few realized that within hours, our great nation would be engulfed in the greatest military conflict the world had ever known. The entertainment of the time was the radio with their fragile tubes that could pop without warning. Let's take our magic time machine and listen to an actual program that was broadcast the day Pearl Harbor was bombed. This is the entertainment that people enjoyed 74 years ago on December 7th, 1941.
Ladies and gentlemen, a new program of songs by Dinah Shore with Paul LaValle and his orchestra. And here she is, radio singing sensation, chosen as the outstanding new star of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Dinah Shore.
Thank you, Harry, and good evening, everyone. My first song tonight is the first hit written by Ralph Blaine and Dee Martin. They put their best foot forward and the show best foot forward when they wrote, "What do you think I am? Just a baby. What do you think I am? Just a child. What do you think I go around with men for? Who do you think I've got a little yen for?"
Now let's enjoy another show that was on the air December 7th, 1941.
As long as you and Don are in such a critical mood, I'd like to point out that Christmas is only 18 days away.
Why else did you come in mad at everybody?
All right, keep it up, keep it up. You know, I already bought your Christmas present, young lady, but I may exchange it for something cheaper.
Something cheaper?
Yes.
They don't dig a bargain basement that deep.
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Gee, was that a performance you gave last week? Was that a performance?
Well, look, kid. I'm making out my Christmas list today, so before singing your song, how about throwing out a few hints? What would you like Uncle Jack to get you?
Well, I thought of a few things, but they're pretty expensive.
Just name them. You're one person in this cast that deserves the best. Wait till I get my pencil here. Now, what do you want, Dennis?
Well, I'd like to have a nice gray suit with a pinstripe.
Okay. One gray suit with pinstripe. Anything else?
Well, I'd love to have a grand piano to practice my songs on.
Okay. One grand piano.
Are you sure you got lead in that pencil, Mr. Benny?
Yes, yes. What else do you want, Dennis?
Well, I've always wanted one of those toy birds on a stick. And when you swing it around your head, the bird goes...
Okay. One bird on stick. Now, what else do you want?
Oh, stop, will you? You're just trying to make Don and me jealous. Dennis isn't going to get all that stuff.
Well, he's getting something he wants.
Gee, I wonder what it is.
I'll give you a hint, kid.
H.V. Kaltenborn, the great announcer, brings a message to Seattle and the rest of our nation, the horrible events that have taken place on Sunday, December 7th, 1941.
Exactly what happened in the order in which it developed here in the NBC News. At 2:25 came the first flash. White House announces Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor. 10 minutes later came this announcement from the White House. The Japanese airplanes attacked Pearl Harbor and all naval and military activities on the island of Oahu. That is the principal island of the Hawaiian group. White House Secretary Perry received the information from the President, who presumably received it directly from the Navy. And his announcement said, the Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor from the air and all naval and military activities on the island of Oahu, the principal American base in the Hawaiian Islands. That announcement was made to all press associations by telephone, and immediately after making it, Mr. Perry hurried to the White House for conference with the President.
The following broadcast was from Cairo Radio in Seattle, on December 7th, 1941, listened to this and really empathized with what our citizens were going through.
There will be no radio broadcasting tonight after 7 o'clock, except perhaps for one of the Seattle stations, which will probably be KIRO. There will be no programs broadcast, but any information necessary for the civilian populace will be broadcast over KIRO probably. There will be a complete blackout tonight at 11 o'clock. That blackout is not only for the city of Seattle. Every light between the Mexican border and the Canadian border, that is in the states of Oregon, Washington, and California, every farmhouse, every light of any kind in that area must be out by 11 o'clock. To test your blackout, you will have plenty of time between the hours of 7 and 11, between now and 11 o'clock, to make arrangements to get heavy black paper to seal your windows, or heavy drapes, or something, and by going outside with your lights on, you can check before the hour set to see that you are completely blacked out. If you're unable to find materials and so forth to make your windows completely sealed so that no light will leak out, you must have your lights off. However, do not pull main switches. As we told you, ordinary window shades are not sufficient to black out your lights. Do not pull the main switches, however. Just use the switches on the in the rooms and on the lamps. No lights are to be used on automobiles, and no lights whatever are to be shown anywhere on the Pacific Coast, in the states of Oregon, Washington, and California, until 30 minutes after daylight. From 11 o'clock tonight until 30 minutes after daylight tomorrow morning. Employers should arrange, if possible, that employees do not have to leave residences until after daylight. And, of course, in all probability, all buses, streetcars, and public transportation vehicles within the city will be off after 11 o'clock tonight. There will be no bus service between 11 o'clock tonight and 30 minutes after daylight tomorrow morning. It's advised that all persons remain indoors during the blackout, except those who have legitimate business and who are concerned in the air raid precautions and so forth, who have legitimate business outside the regular blackout.
It was a difficult time for our nation. Millions of men and women went overseas. We had rationing at home. Automobile production in 1942 was discontinued. And it was just a very, very difficult time when Vaughn Monroe came up with a song that had some hope, but also showed the sadness that existed.
When the lights go on again, all over the world, and the boys are home again, all over the world, and rain or snow is all that may fall from the skies above.
We'd been fighting the war for 2.5 years when on June 6, 1944, we turned on our radios and we listened to General Eisenhower give this wonderful message.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world.
On the 8th of May, 1945, we turned on our radios to listen to Winston Churchill give this wonderful message.
Yesterday morning at 2:41 a.m. at General Eisenhower's headquarters, General Jodl, the representative of the German High Command, and of Grand Admiral Dönitz, the designated head of the German state, signed the act of unconditional surrender of all German land, sea, and air forces in Europe to the Allied Expeditionary Force, and simultaneously to the Soviet High Command.
Germany was defeated, but we didn't know how long it would take to defeat Japan when suddenly we turned on our radios and heard this astounding news.
You'll note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. We won the race of discovery against the Germans.
We had been fighting the war for over 3.5 years. We had lost hundreds of thousands wounded and dead, when suddenly we turned on our radios and this is what we heard.
Yes, we know it's true. We know that the President of the United States has told us that it was true. And here is what he said. The words deserve repeating again and again. I have received this afternoon a message from the Japanese government in reply to the message forwarded to that government on August 11th. I deem this reply a full acceptance of the Potsdam Declaration, which specifies the unconditional surrender of Japan. In the reply, there is no qualification. Arrangements are now being made for the formal signing of surrender terms at the earliest possible moment. General Douglas MacArthur has been appointed the Supreme Allied Commander to receive the Japanese surrender. Great Britain, Russia, and China will be represented by higher-ranking officers.
H.V. Kaltenbrunner spoke on August 14th, 1945. 2.5 weeks later, the official surrender happened.
The U.S. battleship Missouri in Tokyo Bay was the setting for the signing of the surrender terms, which officially brought the war with Japan to an end. General Douglas MacArthur, supreme commander for the Allies, joined Admirals Nimitz and Halsey and other top commanders aboard the Missouri, September 2nd, 1945. The ceremony took place on a Sunday. Foreign Minister Shigemitsu and other representatives of the Japanese nation on the deck of the battleship, even as the world recalled that other Sunday in 41 and the act of treachery which shattered the calm of the Pacific Ocean and the world. Now at last, defeated Japan and the Allies were to sign the surrender terms.
It had been a long, difficult struggle, but victory was ours. And now, everyone was coming home.
Kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Haven't felt like this, my dear, since can't remember.